Amen. The Lord bless you. Give, celebrate Jesus in the lives of this choir. Give God praise for this choir and the instrumentalists. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Well, it's Thanksgiving Sunday. It's good to just appreciate God for all that He has done and that He is doing. This is almost no more time to preach. But there's no way we'll come to church on a Sunday without hearing the word of the Lord. So I'll make it brief and straight to the point. So bear with me a few minutes. How much time do I have left to preach? 5 minutes? Give me 10 minutes. We'll juggle things around. Eternal God, we are grateful. Speak to the hearts of your children this morning. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we prayed. I'm sharing with us this morning, message title, Restoring Our Lost Relationship with God. Restoring or recovering our lost relationship with the Lord. This year, God has said in this place, in this church family, it's a year to pursue, to overtake. So this year there's going to be overtaking. I said in this church this year there's going to be overtaking. And as you overtake, you are going to recover all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hardly can anybody say that you haven't lost anything. There's something of value, of treasure in your life that probably the enemy has stolen. Or maybe it slipped out of your hand. This year, as the Lord lives, you're going to recover it. But as we go through this month, and I said in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be preaching about this. Remember, for the most part in January, my focus was on vision, visioning, ability to see. And now we want to talk for a couple of months or weeks. I will preach about the theme for the year, and then we'll run with it. John 15:15 will be the text for this message. But the summary of it all is this. Honestly, if you examine yourselves, the summary of the message I want to preach this morning is about restoring the relationship that you have lost with the Lord. Have you lost that intimacy? Have you lost your relationship, your closeness, your pursuit of God? Maybe you are pursuing other things. I pray that before you begin to seek after lost glory, lost resources, lost business, lost marriage, lost opportunities, you will want to seek after God. You want to pursue after God before you start pursuing other things. Besides those other things that were lost that you want to pursue, if you don't pursue God, who is going to give you direction? Who is going to lead you to the storehouse where the enemy has kept those lost things and stolen things? You need God more than anything. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. May you know the mind of God this year. From this scripture, you will see that there is a desire in the hearts of the Lord for every one of us. And the desire is, He wants you to be His friend. You may become man of God, woman of God, servant of God. Yes, we are serving Him in one capacity or another. But beyond just running errands for the Lord, He wants you to be a friend. What God desires for you is that close intimacy. For God to call you a friend, then you are close to Him. You are intimate with Him. You become His confidant. People of God, He doesn't just want us to serve Him, running errands for Him, being His mere servants. He desires to bring us into a confidential relationship. You see, he said, servants don't know what goes on in the bedroom. The inner chamber. It's only a friend, a bosom friend, that you can bring into. How many people can bring people into their bedrooms? It's rare. But a very good friend, you'll be free and comfortable. Because this is, I hope you know what a friend is. It's not just everybody you call a friend that is a friend. Some are just mere acquaintances. And they're not friends. But somebody that you can bring into your bedroom is a friend. That's why he was telling here that, look, servants have limitations. There are boundaries that you draw for a servant. You don't let them come into your bedroom. But when you are a friend, when you are a son, so this tells us the mind of God, that he wants us to have a close relationship. That was what God designed for Adam and his wife in the Garden of Eden. He made them to be his friends. He came every cool of the day in the evening to visit them and commune with them. Now, I'm just going back. Right from foundation of the age, right from creation, God's plan wasn't just that Adam and Eve should be mere servants on earth, but friends. And that's why he will leave his abode in heaven and he will come to commune with him, to have intimacy and relationship with them. Not just that he was dwelling there in heaven and he left them on earth in the Garden of Eden, but he cultivated relationship, communion with them. God will come, he wanted to reason with them. They talk, they chat. God would tell them his plans. I want to create this thing. What name are you going to call it? That's friendship. And that was why Adam was the one that named everything that God created. So it wasn't just a mere servant master relationship. They were supposed to be his bosom friends and his confidants on earth. Somebody you do not trust, you will not say, what name should we call this? You created, and I said, you name it. You give it a name. That is giving us an idea of the desire of God for his children. It's the same idea and relationship that God promoted even during the days of Abraham. Having traced this back to the creation, you can see and have an idea of what God intended for his creatures. We humans, not animals now. It got to the time of Abraham, the same relationship, to the extent that we know the nickname of Abraham, friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. For instance, just like God did during the time of Adam and Eve, God wanted to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he would not go. He reasoned with his friend. He called Abraham, you're my friend. Should I go and do this? You can see the kind of relationship, sharing with them ideas, as a confidant, as somebody close and intimate. So we are tracing back to the scriptures, the relationship that God desires for man. And not just any man, a born-again Christian, a child of God. So he discussed with Abraham about his plan to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So God needs friends on earth with whom he can partner to do the work that he plans to do on earth. For those that have been joining our Bible studies, that's what we've been learning. God is always doing something. And he's looking for people, men, that will partner with him as friends to execute his plans on earth. Will you be a friend of God this year? Will you be a close confidant of God? Will you look back and find out where have you missed it? How good is your relationship with your maker? Are you his friend? Don't let people just see us as servants. But there is, let there be seen a deep relationship. And when it now got to the time that Jesus Christ came, which we now read in the scripture now, having seen it in the Old Testament days, that it has all along been the plan of God to make you his friend. And Jesus Christ came, he expressed the same desire passionately and personally to his disciples. He chose them first that they may be his friends, his companions. If you read the Bible very well, Jesus didn't choose disciples so that they can send them on errands. He chose them that they may be around him as friends, as companions. And secondarily, he can send them on errands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. So, people of God, I want you to know that the relationship comes first. Relationship comes first in the heart of God more than the activities that we do. Having a relationship with God is more than the work I do as a pastor or other services that you render as an usher, as a chorister, thank God for the wonderful people that are there at the back, at the parking lot, people cleaning the toilet, every area, ministries and departments, activities that we do. Praise the Lord. God desires a close relationship, something deeper. And that's the only way also that we can be effective in our services. How will you be effective in what you do if you don't have a relationship with the owner of the job? He's more interested in you than what you are doing. What you are doing is secondary. Don't let ministry take the position of God. I'm preaching to myself also. Being a pastor, being a minister, should not take, we get so much involved in activities and we don't have a close relationship with God. Let this change this year. As we begin to pursue the journey of this year, let the pursuit of God be the first thing. Let the broken relationship with God be restored. That should be more important than any other thing. When the lost, when we lose our walk with him, when we lose our relationship and intimacy with him, we cannot get it. You cannot use ministry to replace intimacy with God. You cannot use the word that, oh yes, I preach, I teach, I minister to the sick, I go visit the poor. That's ministry. Those are activities. It can never be a replacement with relationship with God. You look into the Bible, people that made exploits and did great things for God. People like Moses. Moses spent so much time with God. Moses will go to the mountain top with the Lord and be there for 40 days and 40 nights without eating. And that was why he was effective in the ministry. When we do not have, let's forget about showmanship. Activities should not, don't focus on the activities and the ministry you are involved in above your love for God. When you seek after him, you alone with God, how much time do you spend in the place of prayer? That you are alone with God. That you are just there worshiping, praising him, communing with him, rubbing minds with him, and he can breathe on you. He can love on you. He can release, he can tell you secrets that man do not know. Jesus would take 3 people out of 12. I would take them to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they'll be there together. And they will see the glory of God. He spent exclusive time with him. With them. And many a times when Satan sees this happening, that how can God be so mindful of man that God wants to be speaking mouth to mouth with a man? Not even angels have that privilege. We are the crown of his creation. There are privileges that men have that angels don't have. Do you know that? You are aware of that? Hallelujah. Satan gets mad when he sees the relationship that exists between us and God. When he sees the way God is so much concerned about sons of men and the privileges. And so Satan is always out to destroy the relationship between man and God. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He saw how God loved them so much, and the fellowship and communion that existed between God and man, that God will leave heaven and come down on earth. What did Satan do? He sought to break that relationship. He introduced sin, and sin caused a separation between man and God. You think Satan has let go of doing that? Why relationship between you and God has been broken? It could have used some, maybe this, it may not be sin, like asking you to go and take the forbidden fruit, but it will create something that will look so justifiable. Your job, your schedule, your business, your children, including ministry. And he makes sure that we are not close with God. Will you allow this to continue this year? Anything that God will do for you and for me this year, let it start. Let us start by going back to put devil to shame and to restore the relationship that we have with God. He did not go for the, you know, in the Garden of Eden, there were so many good things there. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was there. There were all the fruits. But when he was going to do his atrocity, what he sought after is not to steal the fruits in the garden. He didn't even seek to steal the tree of life. But what he stole was relationship between God and man. And he broke that relationship. He knows that man is finished when God is out of his equation. May God not be out of the equation of your lives. He broke the communion that Adam and Eve had with God. He left money. He left resources. He left all the good things in the garden. But he went after the relationship. See, the best thing is to turn God's back to you. And that's what he's still doing. Using your job. Using your business. Using ministry. Even we that we call ourselves pastors. Will your heart pant after God this year? Psalm 42 verse 1. Give me Psalm 42 verse 1. So as we resolve this year to pursue the restoration of every broken relationship with the Lord, God will see to it that other things that we have lost will recover. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Will your heart pant, seek after God, pursue after him this year? In Psalm 84 verse 2, Psalm 84 verse 2, as I round up, he said, my soul longs for you, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My soul longs for the courts, the house, the presence, the inner room. In your closets, it's not in the church. Of course, the house of God also. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Will your heart cry out for the living God this year? If you don't seek after him first, how will you get the other things? Will your soul long for more of God this year? Or will your soul still be longing for more of dollars? Will you be longing for more hours at work so that you don't have time to pray? You don't have time to come to church? Is it more pleasure going to Hawaii, going to Destiny? Is it what you are seeking after? The choice is yours. Will you desire to be in the courts or in the presence of God? Will your heart cry out for the living God this year? Will you seek to recover that lost relationship with God? You don't even feel it, that you haven't touched base before the throne of grace. Every morning, every day, before you step out, your heart is not pricked. It's just about your work, your job, your business. And these are the things that Satan is using to cause separation. Backsliding is not just a sudden thing that happens in one day. It will have been gradual. You have been sliding back gradually, and you are not paying attention. So when the fall will come, don't be surprised, because Satan is already happy that it's breaking your relationship with God. My prayer for you that this year, and for me too, that this year it will be more of God than other things. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful. We pray thee, O Lord, this morning, and that this year, that what we will seek after first is to restore the lost relationship, the broken relationship. Wherever the thief has come to steal and to break that relationship that we have with you, that's your desire, that we be called your friends, that we become close and intimate people, that will be spending precious time, quality time in your presence, in your courts. But Satan stole this using business, ministry, work, job, and some other things of this world, just like he did to Adam and Eve. But in our lives, Satan will fail in the name of Jesus. We pray that the precious relationship, like Moses, he spent time in your presence. The glory was seen all around him. As we seek to spend time in your presence, as we seek to get more close and intimate with you, let your glory be seen in our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all the good things that we have lost, that the thief has stolen, after we will have sought communion and relationship with you, you will direct us into recovering other things that have been lost and stolen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In this church, more than anything this year, let there be a restoration of intimacy with you. In Jesus' name we prayed. God bless you, church.
called Jesus. Satan will not steal his relationship with God. Anything precious in his life, Satan will not steal it. His intimacy with God will multiply day by day. His intimacy with God will increase in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. It is time to honor the Lord with our offering and our tithes. If you are a tither in the house, please come forward and pay your tithe. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? He said, you have robbed me because you have not paid your tithe. Will a man rob God? Your tithe is 10% of your income or 10% of your profit. It belongs to God. It's an accosting in your hand because it receives no blessing in your hand. And I pray that from now, the Spirit will give us understanding about the payment of our tithe in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for your children who have obeyed you. You promised them that you open the windows of heaven over their life. Mighty God, open the windows of heaven over them in Jesus' name. Let them not have room enough to take those blessings in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, rebuke the brothers for their sake. And call them blessed everywhere they go. In the mighty name of Jesus. The remaining part, God will bless it. It will increase. And God will honor you with the remaining part in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. It is time to offer something to the Lord. If you don't have anything, offer your dance. Offer your clapping. Offer your praise. So tonight we are going to do our offering unto the Lord. The Lord said, honor me. Honor me. Proverbs 3:7. Proverbs 3:7. Honor me with your substance. When you honor God with your special substance, God will honor you. And I pray God will honor us in this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Choir, please.
Hallelujah. What a marvelous God, what a marvelous God, he has done marvelous thing for me. What a marvelous God, what a marvelous, is he doing marvelous thing for me? What a marvelous, what a marvelous God, he has done marvelous things for me. Ha! What a marvelous God, what a marvelous, he said to me marvelous things for me. Hey! The things that are impossible, things that money cannot buy, are the things he has done for me. Ha! What my father cannot do, what my mother cannot do, he has done it again and again. Things that money cannot buy, all the things he has done for me. Ah, what a father cannot do, what a mother cannot do, he has done it again. What a marvelous God, what a marvelous God, what a marvelous God, he has done marvelous things for me. What a marvelous God, what a marvelous God. Marvelous, yeah. Ah, you are marvelous, yeah. 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 You are marvelous, yeah.
Precious God, the giver of all good things, we thank you for giving us substance in our hand, out of which we are taking this token. Please accept all this money and accept our offering in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who have not to give, those who don't have to give. Mighty God, by this time next week, Father, let them be able to give in Jesus' name. And those who are giving, Father, multiply the gift unto them in the mighty name of Jesus. Use this money for the glory of your kingdom here on earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Glory be to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please let's sit down and listen to our announcement. Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord, because God has added unto us. Hallelujah. The families of Sister Yemi, or Simi, Sister Simi and Kola had a bouncing baby boy yesterday. Woo! Put your hands together for the Lord. Children are the gift of the Lord. We shall have more and more in the mighty name of Jesus. Every day in this church, we do a Bible reading between the hours of 8 to 9 in the evening. Bible reading. So we are enjoying to join it, to be able to gain, to be able to do something that will please the Lord. Because the Bible teaches, directs our way, it's a path unto our feet. You cannot please God without the word, his word. So it is very important we follow it so we know how to walk, how to do things. And as we join, God will bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. It's on our Zoom, the church Zoom, 596-734-5469. And the passcode is 8820. So join us every evening. Tonight, we are going to have one at between 8 p.m. and 9. God, we bless you as you join in Jesus' name. And on Wednesdays and Thursdays, because those things hold every day of the week, except Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday, we have a digging deep, what we call the Bible study. The Bible says you should study and make yourself approved of God. You see, as a person who can divide the Bible, you know, without making any mistakes. So when you dig deep into the Word of God, you move closer to the to God. You cannot be deficient of the Word of God and say you are close to God. It's impossible. Because you cannot direct your path by yourself. It's God that directs our path. And as we join this together, God will be directing our path in the mighty name of Jesus. And on Thursday, it's our prayer clinic. It's a prayer night. Whatever you bring before the Lord, God will answer by fire in the name of Jesus. There have been testimonies of such prayer, so join us. The same from 7 o'clock, Wednesday is 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and Thursday 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Only Bible reading of every other day, that is between 8 and 9. God will bless you as you join in Jesus' name. And then evangelism on Saturday, praise the Lord. Evangelism is the heartbeat of God. When you join the evangelism, God will be involved in your own matter. If we reject the word of the evangelism of God, spreading the gospel, God will keep himself aloof from you. And I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So on Saturday, time, sir. Saturday, we have to be here. Is it here? Here, what time, sir? 10 a.m. Let us be here and propagate the word. As you are doing God's work, God will do your own work in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's been a wonderful service. Let's go ahead and have our first-time guest. If you're a first-time guest in our house today, we would like to welcome you with the love of the Lord. Please come out if this is your very first time at Resurrection Chapel Frisco.
You're a winner. You're a winner in the name of the Lord. You're a winner. You are a winner in the name of the Lord. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner in the name of the Lord. You are a winner. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner in the name of the Lord. God has brought you here.
God has brought you here. You're a winner in the name of the Lord.
Jehovah has
brought you here. You're a winner in the name of the Lord. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner in the name of the Lord. the name of the Lord.
You are a winner.
You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner in the name of this is Resurrection Chapel.
In my heart of heart, I knew there was more than one face. Welcome. Thank you for taking up the courage to stand up and be with us today. Remember, this is not an accident. God orchestrated you and ordered your steps here. Okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. We're going to show you our hospitality. We're going to go to the conference room, and they will show you how we welcome people here for the first time. So we just thank God for you, and we're very grateful that you chose to come and worship with us today. Thank you. Sister, sitting here right there. You can take your stuff with you and just follow that sister right there. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. All right. And then we have a missing phone. Sister Gloria is missing a Glory. Glory. Sister Glory is missing her phone. So if anybody come across. Oh, there's a phone right there. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Nothing goes missing in the house of God. Closing prayer. Let's all rise to pray. We finished at exactly 12 noon. Praise the Lord. This church is moving. The cloud of glory is moving. Come on, let's move. Move with a cloud. Move with a cloud. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We worship you. We adore you. We bless your majestic holy name, your awesome Father, for what you're doing in this household. Blessed be your name. As Father, as we go home, we plead the blood of Jesus upon ourselves, blood of Jesus upon this entire week. Father, that no weapon that is formed against any one of us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us is condemned in Jesus' name. In peace shall we go out, and in peace shall we come in. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed day. Have I? Wait, oh, the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rests and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 12:01, everybody. Woo! Go Resurrection Chapel, Frisco!
I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back because I...